KPQ. This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
It's 12:15 at News Radio 560 KPQ. Good afternoon. Michael Knight here in our studios. Our palatial studios, gazing out the window onto the Avenue of Dreams. 61 degrees in Wenatchee, and it's kind of sunny out there right now. It just maintains that it knows the rain's coming, but it wants to be sunny for a little while longer. I concur. So consider this, ladies and gentlemen. How we arrive on Earth is not exactly in our hands. No one I know of or have heard of lent a hand in their own delivery. It's just the opposite often enough. Ask your mom. She'll tell you more. So it's day one. You're an infant, and although you have desires, you want to be fed, you want to be warm, you want to be changed, we as parents can only guess as to your attitude. Your thoughts being, well, you're 1 week old. You're a victim of gravity. You have the indignity of peeing in your britches. You're unable to walk. You can't communicate. Being able to voice any concerns. You can't tell us what you like about baby food or the dog or going for walks or any of the rest. You're welcome. We're glad you're here, but you're not exactly a great communicator, and that may pay off later. At least when it comes to subtleties, you know, the broad strokes, we know what you want. And that's good days for most of us, but not for all of us. And later, years hence, we have the body of an adult but the ciphering and cognitive system of an uninformed Homo sapien. But we can get out of balance like that, out of balance mentally, chemically, socially, like a car on an icy road. We sometimes go where we should not and arrive sideways and in a disheveled state. So if you stay out of balance without professional help for long enough, you will find the breadcrumbs through the forest are gone, and there is really no way back to normalcy. It seems unavailable. Individuals who feel that there's no way back to normal town sometimes choose their own form of rectifying on a dead-end situation. Did you ever think about a rude, unscheduled exit from our planet? Or did you ever imagine what life would be like if you had an offer, perhaps, of safe housing? Would it change your mind if someone said, hey, we have food, why don't you eat with us? Would it change your mind if there were other resources for at-risk youth? It's hard to get their attention because with their confusion and with their emotions and with their snap judgments and trying to be accepted by a two-dimensional sub-universe of texts and posts and third-party judgments, somebody puts you in a bad mood who's got it on the internet from Altoona, Pennsylvania. They have no idea who you are, but they dump seriously on you and everything you've ever loved and your favorite band. So you decide to end your life when you don't like the hang of it? Like tossing a peanut butter sandwich away when you haven't even put the jelly on? Or throwing water on your campfire before you light it? There are thousands of descriptions of alike. That shortcut by foolishness to the most awful description of the void where you used to be. You don't leave a void in someone else's life on that down day when it all seems lost. False evidence appearing real, that's what they call it. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Not the way to end this fascinating experiment on our planet. But today, young people, bothered people, chemically unbalanced people, confused people, youth on the brink of suicide. Now, you can tune me out right now if you want, but both fear and loathing will still be in our town and in the youngest of us facing new emotions, sometimes alone, always inexperienced, and not able to deal with the treacherous world. Two subjects today, helping people who are at risk and trying to stop teen suicide. First guest, Paul Hughes from Hospitality Ministries is here, Paul.
Yes, welcome.
Did you know I was going to get all serious on you?
Wow, that's pretty exciting there, Mike.
Anyway, those are things of faith. Have you ever had a suicide in your life?
I've, as a police officer, I responded to
no doubt
a few.
Yeah, I had a bandmate of mine.
Wow, tough.
End his life, strangely.
Wow.
He said he was waiting to see his child be born. He wanted to see if it looked like him. And it did.
Okay.
And he committed suicide anyway.
Wow.
I know.
Hard to understand.
Well, no one did understand it because he never mentioned it to anybody, and that's so often the case. At risk, people do strange things to make themselves even more at risk sometimes, and you deal with them.
Sure. Well, I know I have a bed to go to tonight, but some of the people in Wenatchee actually do not. We provide shelter for men and women with children. I represent Hospitality Ministries. It's a local Christian nonprofit organization. We have two homeless shelters, Hospitality House for Men and Haven of Hope for Women and Children.
And are they full?
Our You know, we're close to full on both.
I bet you are.
Our men's shelter, 26 years old. We have actually bed space with mattresses for 70, and I believe we're about 65 today. And ending the winter, we were up closer to 65 or even 70 than I've seen the last 3 years. Often we've been at 50 or 60. So we're approaching capacity at our men's shelter. And our women's shelter is often full. We have, I think, 23 beds there. Women or women with children. Some have come from abuse or neglect situations, some very harmful situations. So they do find a haven there of rest.
I hope so. And, of course, you have a, you've started this effort, and now you have 60 people sleeping in your place and expecting 3 meals a day. I hope they help cook, but that is a, that's a
huge.
That's a big job every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, we house 80 or 90 people often. And, what helps is donations from the community of food and finances. We do ask for most of our residents either a small income or payment to stay, especially if they're there very long, or chore work to help offset, just what needs to happen. At our men's shelter, we also feed the public at no charge. So that's a lot of meals. We actually just tallied in March. We did an average of 136 meals a day, which was over 4,200 meals for 1 month.
What's for lunch today?
I don't know. I'm not there. I'm here with you.
Okay. That's a fair answer. And your address is 1450 South Wenatchee Ave?
That's our men's shelter. Yes, it is.
And that's open 24 hours, or how do you?
It is. We actually staff an overnight front desk person.
A porter.
Yes. So doors lock at 10 and open about 6. But we accept men who are clean and sober all the time.
And if they're clean and sober but need to be a little cleaner, you give them showers? And
we offer showers and clothing. And we also we get donated food, especially, I'm sorry, clothing for our men. And we have a little store on site. Men can go, either residents or the public again, at no charge. We'll provide one or two sets of clothing if they need.
That's amazing. So some people, within an hour or two, can turn around their dirty, hungry selves into someone presentable, go out and get a job, maybe.
Yeah, that would be our hope, that they make some changes with their life. If their life has been in disarray and apparently and possibly all alone and unaccounted for, we want to provide some accountability, but also some care. And we also offer Bible studies at both our men's and women's shelter for that.
Do you find it's sometimes hard to get the attention of someone who's lived on their own on the street for a long time? They're listening, but they're not really comprehending.
Correct. And a lot of them are kind of just trying to survive the next minute, the next day. And they don't always.
That just becomes your state of mind.
It is. And they don't always trust, who's providing their bed or their food. We do 3 meals a day, all year long. And, but there's a level of trust that people have to learn. And, mental health is a big issue.
Yes.
For not all, but percentage of our homeless people here.
And do you find it hard to deal with people who are not quite in their right mind sometimes during the day?
Well, we refer some of those people, thankfully, to Catholic Charities and other community resources.
Because they need medication.
They certainly need more, yes, and more help than we can directly provide, certainly.
What can people do to help you, Paul?
Well, we are in a position to ask for some donations. Our men's shelter in particular has been in, was built 26 years ago. And guess what? Our roof is leaking.
I don't like the sound of that.
It's a secret, but no one will now know. But
it's got to be somebody in that room who knows.
We need to address this issue this year.
Right.
And so we have actually a couple fundraising events coming up. That are real important.
Tell us about the one coming up in May.
The one in May.
I'm sorry, in April.
Yes, April. That's this month.
That's right.
April 16th, just 2 weeks away, a Tuesday evening at Pybus, a fundraising dinner. We're planning both a live and silent auction. We have someone called Mayor Frank Kuntz, speaking along with...
I know him.
Yeah. And
he's a good speaker.
He is. And Mike Magdog McNaughty.
I know him. He's a pretty good speaker, too, but he uses his hands more than the mayor.
He does. He used to be my sergeant at work. And then we...
Well, I give you a standing ovation for surviving that.
That's true.
All I had to do to survive was a half hour with him, and he's going to be doing the same with me soon.
Oh, good. Well, so that's our big event coming right up. Tickets are $25 a person. It's at Pybus. Doors open at 5.
Are you guys doing the food or is someone else?
We're doing most of the food in-house, but we're doing a good meat, and we're ending with cheesecake. I like cheesecake.
It's not a bad ending.
And we're not making that cheesecake, so that'll be good.
How did you get it? Now, you were a police officer. We've talked about this in your previous experiences. I don't want to go back and relive that. I just want to relive what made you change to this.
Well, for me, it's kind of the same thing.
Wow.
So caring for the public as a police officer, and now I'm caring for...
The public,
who have specific needs like shelter and food and clothing. So I guess that's... about my faith, the direction my life is taking.
Oftentimes people who are directionless, not necessarily suicidal, not necessarily drunken on the street, but just their lives sort of dead-ended. A lot of people who give them advice say, be of service. Do something not for yourself. Try just doing something for a total stranger or someone that you don't know or someone that you may know in future years and see how that makes you feel.
I think that's great advice. And again, the next guest is talking about suicide. I think we focus in this culture way too much on our own, on ourselves and what we think we want or need, and reaching out, looking to help someone else, or working with someone for their progress is I think a very important thing for each of us.
And it's a modern malady that some of our cruelest work is left to ourselves, our own opinion of ourselves, or what we should be doing, or what we should be earning, or where we should be living. And if you don't meet your own expectations, even they're unreasonable and probably unnecessary, that's that self-judgment and self-loathing that we deal with in our society.
And we're the center of our own little world.
Right.
That's the problem.
Tell us one more time where your address is and how people can support you financially.
Well, you can find us online at hospitalityministries.org. And we have a donation area there you can click on. Certainly, I would invite anyone listening to buy a $25 dinner ticket for April 16th and come down and have a great event.
Where can we get those tickets?
Those tickets are right now for sale at Encouraging Words Bookstore toward the south end of Wenatchee, or online at eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite.com.
And you look at, and then you... put in Hospitality Ministries, and it'll pop up for you.
Or just Google Hospitality Ministries of Wenatchee, and they're at this following address, 1450 South Wenatchee Avenue.
Right, that's our men's shelter, and we receive food and donations there all the time.
Well, bring by a turkey, too, with your check.
Oh,
that'd
sure.
be great. That'll go a long way.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Paul. You're doing great work, and it's good to see you again.
Thank you.
By the way, we met at a home expo, right?
We did the first time.
It shows you what can happen when you get out of the house and off the couch.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:32 at News Radio 560 KPQ, 61 degrees in Wenatchee. My very special guests are Greg and Carmen Frizzley. You know them. They own Cycle Central and also Performance Footwear, and God knows what else they're going to buy before I can stop them. But welcome to the show, you two. How are you?
Doing good.
Great. Thank you so much for having us today.
I haven't seen them, but I love your stores, and so thank you for the hard effort I know you're putting in, because I never see you anymore, so you must be at the books.
We're busy.
Yeah.
Well,
just a little.
Aside from your professional lives, you've taken on something in your extra time, let's say, and I'm going to leave it to you to describe what it's like for people who have been touched by suicide or have children who have considered it.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing, and
it's a horrible thing.
Yeah. Carmen and I were just, we haven't been personally like a close family member, affected by this. thankfully, but we do know that in the Wenatchee Valley and Okanagan Valley, both of those areas are very touched by this situation.
I think any place there's teenagers, they make these silly, totally. These silly decisions.
So we just, you know, we're just stepping up as concerned citizens and trying to shine light on it. And I just wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit and, you know, uncover, take off some Band-Aids and talk about some statistics.
Take it off quick because it always hurts.
I know.
But we're talking about people who are feeling personal pain that they don't want to communicate.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it could be a numerous things. And again, you know, we aren't clinical, you know, we're not psychologists and whatnot.
But
and
your really, parents, right?
Yeah,
we are
exactly.
Two boys,
that
yes.
Any parent out there qualifies as a bit of a psychologist.
It's just alarming, you know, studying the subject. Youth suicide is the second leading cause of death between the ages of 10 and 24.
What's number one? Cars?
I don't even know what number one
doesn't
is.
Really matter. It's a natural death as opposed to an unnatural
one. Yeah. And then each day in the U.S., there's an average of 3,041 attempts by young people, grades 9 through 12.
That's the vulnerable time, isn't it? You're just a teenager and you have no idea what's going on.
At 4 out of 5 teens who attempt suicide have given clear warnings prior to it. So they've talked to their friends or their family.
And they weren't taken seriously.
Yeah.
No, and friends may not have known how to deal with that or, if they're not taking it seriously or they just try and make it a joke.
Someone confides in another one of their friends and the friend says nothing because he has no idea what to say.
Correct.
So it's interpreted as, well, he doesn't care either.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of statistics, even taking just out the teen that 2017 in the United States alone, 47,173 people died by suicide, you know. So it's an epidemic, you know, and it's something that the numbers go up.
They never go down.
No, they don't go down, but we're trying to do something about it. And
you have a pretty good plan.
Tell me about it. So we, you know, got together with a couple other people in town that we do support things with.
Your pal Jimmy from Dutch Bros?
Yeah, Jimmy and Danielle.
And where is he today on this important event?
So he's working.
Jimmy.
We're all working.
Yes.
Jimmy, I knew that's where you'd be.
Yeah, we partnered with Christ Center, which is our local church that Carmen and I attend, and they've been a huge part, really rallying behind us. We hired a gentleman by the name of Bob Mortimer, and Bob has a story. He, with his brother, went on a drinking and drug binge back in the 70s when he was a 21-year-old and they got in a really bad car accident.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, they rolled the vehicle, several times and they began laughing in the vehicle because they didn't even have a scratch or a bruise and they crawled out of the truck and Bob started to walk away from the truck and when he walked up on the road, he didn't notice that they had hit a power line. And that the power lines had split and Bob, touched the power line with his left hand and it blew his arm off.
Wow.
And then brought him to his knees. It actually, took his knees out. And so, long story, you know, short, really, he sat in a hotel room and they amputated both his legs and his arm and he was in the position of, you know, suicidal thoughts, met his wife, came to Christ. And, so now he's a motivational speaker and he's bringing hope to kids. And he speaks at youth rallies and high schools and junior highs all over the world. He's coming to Wenatchee, Monday. Actually we'll be in, East Wenatchee and Wenatchee and Cashmere.
You're going to 14 schools?
14 schools all the way up to Brewster.
And he'll speak at each one.
He'll speak at each one to junior high and high school. And then he'll have 3 rallies. So,
I bet they've never heard a story like his.
No, I don't know, you know, but from April 8th to April 15th, he will be in the area and we'll be in Pateras, Brewster, Eniat, Wenatchee, you know, school district. We'll be in Chelan, Manson, you know, up in Leavenworth. We're going to be in Cashmere, East Wenatchee. So just kind of just really hitting this whole
valley. What did the schools say when you approached them?
You know, overwhelmingly, you know, because when we're looking at this, it's an approach, you know, and it's something nobody wants to talk about, but it's an epidemic, you know, it's a problem that we need to. And they were all open arms. I'll tell you that Steve Haney, he's in Cashmere, and he's been in the youth ministry forever, And he has really a lot of favor. He's mm-hmm. he's got a lot of friends, and so he, and he just people trust, you know, kind of
his judgment.
Yeah, and so he really was instrumental in putting a lot of things into effect, and then you know, up in Chelan.
Well, how did you two, the parents of two boys, how did you get, how did it come to be that this was important enough for you to take action?
Well, when we first moved into the Wenatchee area, you know, we have our two boys now. They're 17 and 14 and just really great kids. But when we moved into the area, we've always had a heartbeat for youth. Just it's always been with us.
If you have kids, how can you not?
Right. So as we heard some of their stories at school, we were just like, okay, yep, this is a problem. We weren't, it wasn't just like a, you know, just some sort of thought in our brain that popped up one day. It was an actual problem. So it was actually many, many years ago that this idea or this dream just to help teens really got birthed in our heart. So here we are today, just about a week before it's about to just really come to fruition. So it's been an interesting journey. And
have you met the speaker?
We haven't.
No, just a couple of emails.
He's got quite a story, I'll say that.
He does.
If you can bring him by, we'll make room for him here.
Oh, man,
that would be great.
I think he's going to be pretty exhausted because he goes from school to school to school, and then he goes and
tell him I'm always tired. He'll have the upper hand on me.
We'll head up to your home.
Okay. There you go.
Of course, you fall asleep by about 4:30 in the afternoon, I think.
I have an unusual lifestyle, but let's not dwell on that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fascinated by this idea. Do you ever have any experience with any of your son's kids at school that went through something similar?
You know, I had friends when I was growing up, but you know, fortunately, my friends haven't dealt with it firsthand. It's just, you know, really, and Carmen kind of alluded to it in the beginning when we moved here, I began to kind of learn about, you know, local issues and things that had taken place, and suicide was the one thing that I was like, wow, it is really prevalent. It seemed like for some time, it all the time, you'd be reading another one, and, you know, one is too much.
And it's not like I'm not taking it seriously, but to commit suicide at a young age means that you just didn't have all the facts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It looked one way, but the world was really another way, and you never had an opportunity to see the other side of it, because kids have undeveloped psyches. There's no doubt about it.
And I have a friend, you know, many, many, many years ago when I was in junior high, I have this friend, her name was Bethany, and she reached out to me maybe about 5 years ago on Facebook saying, hey, I don't know if you ever knew this, but I was gang raped and I was contemplating suicide. And I was just at a point where I'm like, you know, God, if you're real, I need something. And she goes, and the very next day, you recognized me and we became friends and I'm here today.
So it was just an accidental scene at school.
You could call it an accident.
Well, to the point where you weren't aware of how important
I wasn't aware of it at that time.
How important it was
for her to be recognized.
It's a good example of how quiet, how totally silent and protective we are of our own fears.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that we're fearful of our thoughts.
You know, and with social media and the rampant amount of bullying, you know, it's a huge subject.
Of course.
Nobody likes, you know, everybody wants to be loved and everybody wants to know that they matter. And deep down inside of each one of us, regardless of whether everybody would admit that or not, we all thrive for that. We're all hungry for that. And so
it's a need.
It is.
Like food.
Yes.
That's
and shelter.
How we were designed. And
however, it does not exist in social media very often.
No.
It just doesn't.
No.
Or texting.
Everybody's quick answer, smarty pants answer, snarky answer. That's what travels. That's what gets traction.
It does. It does, but you could also use it and turn it for good. And if someone pops in your brain, hey, you can text them, say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. And you just have no idea what kind of power that could have, just like I had no idea just by recognizing that gal.
I think there's probably people in the throes of considering it, thinking about it, talking about it, that are just that position. No one has any idea, and that's the way it rests. They may act on it, they may not. But no one is witnessing or sharing the emotions as they go through while they come to grips with it.
Yeah, it's, you know, just looking at the alarming numbers of people that attempt this, you know, to just think.
It is the number one cause of death for teenagers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number two cause of death.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yep.
We're talking with Greg and Carmen Frisley. They work down the street at the Cycle Center in the performance footwear area. They're putting together this plan. And I have to take a break, but we'll be back on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
At 12:48, we're just about out of time, but not entirely, so draw near to your audio device or radio, whatever you're listening on right now. My guests are Greg and Carmen Frizzley. They're from Cycle Centra and Performance Footwear, but we're not talking about their stores. We're talking about their efforts in the local schools with a man who's an inspirational speaker because he went through quite a life, and he's telling people, I considered suicide when my legs and my arm were amputated, but I voted for the other guys. I voted for life.
Yeah.
And look at me, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And he's going to be speaking to how many schools?
He will be doing 14 assemblies around the next 6 days, starting Monday, you know, through the following Monday. Again, going all the way from Brewster to Leavenworth to East Wenatchee. So, yeah, Bob Mortimer, he's definitely shares the message of hope. And so we're just excited to reach about 6,000 kids in the next 6 days. Just to share that and really kind of get them thinking.
I'll wager that I've never, at that age, heard any word from an adult about trying to take his life. I don't think no adult would talk to his kids in that tone when I was in high school. That level of truth just is not available at many, many junctures in your life.
Yeah, I don't, you know, again, I think it's growing. It's a growing issue and it needs to be addressed. And I think as a community, I think community by community, you know, the concerned people need to step up and kind of lock arms and hunt this down, you know, really try to be there and ask questions. And when you see somebody who's struggling, ask them how they're doing. Just take enough time. There's a group up in Chelan, they started a outreach and it's hashtag. If mm-hmm. you know what a hashtag is, hashtag only 7 seconds. And their mission really is when you feel like somebody's put on your mind, like, hey, you know, Michael Knight, you know, I should text you. It takes 7 seconds to text you. How are you doing? Just ask somebody, how are you doing? And there's a story behind that with somebody that did that and actually mm-hmm. stopped somebody from, you know, making that decision.
And as you can probably imagine, these decisions to take one's own life are usually made in silence. And in isolation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're hurting.
With no other counseling.
Yeah, they're hurting.
Yeah, they are.
And that only 7 seconds, they did start up a new website. It should be now active. It's www.only7seconds.life.
.life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never seen a .life. Have you?
No.
Wow, that's a new one.
And May 7th is the National Awareness Day for Suicide National Day.
Do I have time to share a couple phone numbers?
Please.
Okay. So there is a suicide hotline. If you are listening and you're struggling right now, first of all, I'll tell you that you matter. And the second thing I would ask you to do is dial 1-800-273-8255. You can also go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. If you prefer to text, you can text the number 741741, and there will be somebody that will confidentially speak with you and answer questions for you and help you know, guide you in your time.
And at least consider that your brain, which is giving you all these negative signals, just might be lying to you for its own purposes. Brains
Correct.
Do that. My brain has lied to me. I can't tell you how many times. So don't listen.
The scale lied to me.
Oh no! Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, are you getting counseling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next.
Thanks
to
Thanks for
him.
Having us on. And
you're always
and
welcome, Greg and Carmen Frizzley. Thanks
Thank
a million.
Thank you.
You can find them if you want to know more. Cycle Central or Performance Footwear. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio.